Rolando La Rosa. And he's probably one of the best prophetic teachers that I've ever heard. And he just really lays it out really well and flows with the Spirit well. And so you want to make plans to be here next Wednesday. And it'll be a blessing to your life. So write that down. And men, we're going to have our Barnabas meeting on the 27th at 8:30 in the morning. And also for married couples, you know, it's a good thing to invest in your marriage, isn't it? And we're having a marriage fellowship on the 27th also. What time is that going to be? 6 p.m. So if you're married, we have a great marriage fellowship, and they come together. You can fellowship with other couples. Even if both of the couple can't make it, one of the couples can come. So Mike and Joyce lead that, and that'll be on Saturday the 27th in the evening. So we got a lot of things going on. Amen. And then tomorrow, we start release time here. We're excited about that. They started today at Mount United Zion, and praise God. We have an inlet into the schools, and praise God. And then mark your calendars down on Saturday, November 1st. We're going to have our holiday dinner, and that's going to be on a Saturday this time. And if you want to... help with the entertainment. There's a list back there. If you like to act or if you like to move things to help actors, all your skills can be used. Amen? Praise God. And also, you know, in your giving tonight, I'll tell you what, God, it's such a privilege to be able to give into the kingdom of God. And so, Father, we just pray over our seed container. Lord, where we give you our tithes and our offerings, and we thank you, Lord, that you would take those seeds, cause them to grow, and just multiply them back. Lord, bless every giver in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. And you're going to see a miracle tonight. I'm going to get you out by 8. I'll do everything in my power, and it's up to God, so. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. If you haven't known this already, this is my most favorite scripture. And it's the foundation on which God led me into ministry. And it says, if you be Christ's, how many are here tonight, you'd say, I'm Christ's? I belong to him. I've accepted him. You know, God made it so easy to be in Christ or to belong to him. All you have to do is accept him. And he's good in any language, any race, any tribe, and any tongue. He's one size fits all. If you be Christ, see, because not everybody is Christ. When it came to the Pharisees, they were the devils. Because Jesus told many of them, he said, you are of your father, the devil. So if you be Christ, then, so you got to be Christ first, then you are Abraham's seed or offspring and heirs according to the promise. So as you can see in this scripture, Christ is the key to everything. Once you're in Christ, once you're in that place, once you're in that position, once that person is in your heart, you have access to everything else. Amen? And so we're talking about the best place to be. It's not a physical location, but it is a spiritual location. And the best place for every person to be is in Christ Jesus. You know, Ephesians 1:3 says, how he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's a place right there, isn't it? Did you know that you're in heavenly places? Did you know that you have a seat in heavenly places? And you have access to all of heaven's goodness and best? And so we've been talking about this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what we're really doing is we're taking a journey through the epistles. And we're seeing what it means to be in Christ, to be in the best place. And we're talking about what we get when we're there. You know, when you're in Christ, you get some things. You get everything that Christ gets. You get every victory that he gets. You get all of his strength. You get his wisdom. You get his understanding. You get his ability. You get his forgiveness. You get his mercy. You see what I'm saying? All right? I could go on and on and on and on and on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's go to verse 11. He said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." You know, when we get to the end of our life, we're going to be tried by fire. And all the stuff that we did in our own strength, on our own effort to glorify ourselves, it's going to burn up like wood, hay, and stubble wood when it comes in contact with fire. Now, but if you've done stuff for the Lord and the fire comes to you, it's going to be like gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, what happens to them when they go through the fire? They become brighter. They become more brilliant. They glisten. Amen. When they go through the fire, they get better. Whereas when wood, hay, and stubble go through the fire, it doesn't exist anymore. So you want to make sure that you're doing things for God and not for yourselves, because that's the ultimate. But my point is this: Christ is the key to our foundation. He's the only foundation that's going to last through any storm that you face. He's the only foundation that's going to keep you secure. And in this foundation, Christ is the cornerstone. How many know that you can trust in Christ? You know, there was a time in Paul's life where he was heading to Rome. It was toward the end of his life. And he told the people, he said, "You shouldn't sail at this time." But they didn't take heed to him because, well, he wasn't a sailor. So they sailed, and they encountered a nor'easter, an extremely bad storm. And it was dark for days. They threw off everything that they could on the boat. And there was an angel that stood by Paul. And he said, "No one's going to lose their life." He said, "You're going to lose the boat, but no one's going to lose their life." And so Paul had that promise. And because Paul had Christ's presence, he had Christ's promise, he knew that no matter what he faced, he was going to be okay. And he endured that. And this is really the power of Christ. You may be going through some things. Christ is the only thing that's going to see you through. Nothing else is going to see you through but Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. So you've got to be founded in Christ. He's got to be the anchor to your soul. How many know that your emotions can reach highs and lows very quickly? Right? Your feelings can be good one moment and bad the next, right? Well, when you have an anchor to your soul, see, an anchor secures a boat from just being driven by the ocean waves. When you have an anchor to your soul, you can rest your feelings and emotions, and God will help them make them steady. He will steady those emotions, he will steady those feelings, but you got to make him the anchor. Otherwise, you'll just be going up and down like the waves of the sea. Did you know that the foundation of Christ is precious? It's been tried, it's been tested, and it's been proven stable. You're not going to find anything else that'll be able to hold you up than the foundation. And we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And they preach Christ. Go with me to Acts 8 for a moment. I got to deviate from the plan here, and I got to go for here because this is, God wants to show us something here. You know, God can use some things to his advantage. And in this particular case, he used persecution to get the Christians out of the box because they were all gathered in Jerusalem. You know, they were all hanging out in Jerusalem, and persecution came in, and they went and scattered. Okay? But God used that to his advantage. Look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So God will use, he brought in persecution to scatter them so that they could get the message out. How many know that soap's no good in a box? Right? If you want to wash your clothes, you're going to have to get the soap out of the container that it's in. Otherwise, your clothes won't get clean. And how many know as Christians, we need to get out of the box sometimes? We have this bubble or this box that we all gather in, but sometimes, you know, what's outside the box is what people need, what we have. Okay? Here's the thing. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached what? He preached Christ unto them. Just like I'm doing to you. I've been doing to you for the past few Wednesdays. I've been preaching about Christ. I've been focusing on scriptures that talk about Christ. And I think there's over 300 or some in the New Testament. I'm just going through the New Testament. And I don't know, do you think God will do something when Christ is preached? Yes, notice what happened. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke. They listened. They put into practice what he was saying. They took it to heart. Okay? They just didn't let it fly over their head. So not only did God use Philip, but he was also using the people together. Someone had to go preach, but then someone had to listen. Amen? How many know the listener has a part, the preacher has a part, and God has a part? And when we all do our parts, miraculous things happen. Mighty things happen. Okay? So he went and preached Christ unto them. And they gave heed to what he was saying, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Well, when you preach Christ, you're talking about the anointed one. You're talking about his anointing. You're talking about the Messiah. You're talking about his work. You're talking about everything that he's interested in. Okay? So they saw and heard some things. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed. Boy, I tell you what, when you preach Christ, it makes the devils nervous. When you preach Christ, they get evicted from their rental places. You got any demons today? You're about to come out tonight. In Jesus' name. Unclean spirits came out of many, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. How much joy? Great joy. The message of Christ is good news. It brings great joy. It brings peace. It brings deliverance. It brings healing. It sets people free. Oh, you don't have to be bound by anything tonight. The limits that you face right now can fall off to you like that. Miracles can happen right now in this place. Why? Because we're preaching Christ. God gets excited. Did you know that Christ is the centerpiece of God's plan of redemption? It all hinges on Christ. Everything we have is through Christ. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at verses 5 and 6. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we are by him. Christ is the key to everything existing. Without Christ, nothing would exist. But we exist because of Christ. Long before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son all got together. And they wanted someone to pal around with, so they made you and I. They formed us out of the dust of the ground. They breathed the breath of life into us. And we became living souls. And he made us. He created us. He gave us life. And all things exist through Christ. It's because of Christ that we are here tonight. This is Christ's house. We're doing Christ's work. And Christ wants to come down to you. He wants to come right where you are. And if you need to be lifted up, he'll pick you up. If you need to be straightened out, he'll straighten you out. If you need to be shaken up, he'll shake you up. You know what? He knows what you need. But he's here. He's able to meet every need that you came in here with tonight. He's able to change situations. He's able to turn things around. He is the improvement that all of our life needs. Through him, all things exist. He is the source of all things. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a great promise here. And we'll start with verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. How much tribulation can you go through that he can comfort you? All. He is the comfort of all your tribulation. The word tribulation is trouble, sorrow, difficulty. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. So in other words, Christ is the key to receiving comfort in tribulation. Anybody ever face trouble? Okay? Well, in the midst of trouble, what is Christ doing? Number one, he's there to comfort you. You know, our weather's starting to get cold, right? And for those of you that like it cold, and you get in your bed and it's nice, and you pull that nice warm comforter over you, doesn't that just make you feel good? Like pouring hot oil on you, you know, like taking warm water and pouring it on you. There's just something about a comforter when you're facing the cold, how it alleviates the cold and the stress that brings. It just makes you warm. Well, that's the comfort of God. Now, we're all going to face trouble. But Christ is going to comfort us in trouble. He's going to sit there with us. He's going to be there with us, just like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. What was he doing? He was comforting them. Because they stood up for him, now he was standing with them. And they came out of that fire, and they didn't even have the effects of the fire. Do you realize when they came out of the fire, they didn't talk about how hot it was. They didn't talk about how bad it was. They didn't talk about their situation. They came out praising God. They felt the presence of God greater than the difficulty that they faced. But what do? We go through tribulation, and then we want to make tribulation the focus point of all of our conversations. Oh, the trouble I've seen. You know, what's that song? You know the trouble I've seen? Or, yeah, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Well, when you go through something, you got a choice. You can either focus on your pain or you can focus on your victory. You make the choice. If you focus on your pain, you're never going to get healed. But if you focus on the victory, I'll give you another example. How often did Jesus talk about his crucifixion after he was resurrected? He never mentioned the nails. The only time that he did was when Philip needed to see him. But my point is this. The crucifixion wasn't the topic of the conversation, because he went through it. But the resurrection, you compare the crucifixion with the resurrection, which is greater. Focus on the greater. Focus on the good. How do we do that? Through Christ comforting us. Now, you got to take the comfort that you received in your trial and your test, and you got to find someone else in the test, and you got to share how you were comforted, and you share comfort with them. God comforts you so that you can comfort someone else. So pass the comfort on. Share the comforter. Don't keep the comforter to yourself. How do you do that? When you find someone who's hurting, when you find someone in trouble, you say, let me tell you what God did for me. And you just share your story. You share how God came in and how he comforted you and how he brought you through. I guarantee you that person will feel much better. But Christ is the key to finding comfort in tribulation. And guess what? Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. No one is void of trouble. Every person on this planet is going to face trouble. Whether you want to or not, whether you planned it or not, you're going to face trouble. But what happens in the midst of that trouble? What you allow God to do in your heart. You know, I could be weary about crossing streets. Because back in 2008, I crossed a street one time and I ended up being hit by a vehicle. Should I let that stop me from crossing streets today? No. I cross streets and I don't even give that a second thought. Because if I did, I'd be living my life in fear. And how many know you can't live by fear? You got to live by faith. And when you're going through stuff, that is the best time to be with your brothers and sisters. That is not the time to be by yourself. Amen? Why? Because God created the body of Christ like a family. He said, when one member of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. When one member of the body rejoices, the body rejoices. Amen? When someone blesses someone, when God blesses someone, you ought to get excited for them. I mean, if you say, well, why not me? Then that's why not me. That's why not you. But the comfort that God gives to us, he knows how you feel. And there's nobody been through what he was through. So if you think you're the only one going through what you're going through, you're not. But there's a comforter. And even when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter, one just like me, with the same nature, the same ability, and the same power. And he gave us his Holy Spirit where we can have constant comfort with us. He put the comforter on the inside of us. Say, I've got the comforter in me. And anytime you need to draw on some comfort, you can draw from the comfort of well that's on the inside of you. Just bring it up. How do you do that? You just declare God's goodness. Hallelujah. Go to verse 10. Verse 10 of chapter 2. I'm sorry. Chapter 2, verse 10. He said, to whom ye forgive anything, forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Anybody ever have something done to you that wasn't right? And we feel like we could never forgive them. We feel like they owe us something that we need to collect on that debt. No, you need to forgive them. But I can't do it. No, you can't do it in your own. But in Christ, you can do it because Christ is the key to forgiveness. How many things did Christ forgive us of? Did Christ ever say, I'll forgive you, but? No. He forgave. He forgave the sins. He is not holding the sins of the world against them. But if a person never receives Christ, they're hindering themselves from benefiting from it. But Christ is the key to our forgiveness and forgiving others. He's the one who can tenderize our heart. He's the one who can give us compassion. You know, there were times when Jesus would look on people and he would see their trouble, and the Bible said he was moved with compassion. And when he was moved with compassion, he would heal them of their hurts and of their pains and of their diseases. How many know we have a compassionate God, and he has compassion on us? You know, the Bible says he has great patience for the precious fruit of the earth. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for people. He's giving people ample opportunity to come into his kingdom. He could have wiped us out, but he didn't. Ephesians 4, 23 tells us we have to be forgiving others. How many of we have to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us? You take the forgiveness that he gave and you share it. It's no different than ordering a pizza. And someone comes to your door after you ordered the pizza and the pizza arrived, your table's set, and you didn't plan on them being there, and they show up hungry, and the minute they walk in, they say, would you like a piece of pizza? You're sharing the pizza with them just like you can share forgiveness. Just cut them a slice of the forgiveness pie and say, here, this was freshly baked for you. I want you to have it. I'm giving it to you. And then what they do with it is up to them. You're not supposed to make them receive it. You just give it. You just forgive them because Christ has forgiven you. But you don't know what they did to me. Yeah, but what did they do to Jesus? They nailed him to the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right there on the cross, he forgave the soldiers that pounded the nails in. He forgave the soldiers that whipped him. He forgave the soldiers that put the crown of thorns on his head. He forgave the soldiers that ripped out his beard. He forgave the people who mocked him, who didn't understand him. He forgave them. And he expects us to do the same. You know, in John 20, it says, the sins you forgive are forgiven, but the sins you don't forgive are not. It's a heavy responsibility. I don't know if I can handle it. You can't by yourself. I can't by myself, but in Christ you can. How many things can you do in Christ? That includes forgiving others. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ gives you his strength so that you can do it. He'll help you do it. So Christ is the key to our forgiveness. Go to verse 14. You ready to be excited? Now thanks be unto God, which sometimes leads us to victory. No, it didn't say sometimes. Which always causes us to triumph where? In Christ. and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. God will make you smell victorious. When David walked onto the battlefield, Goliath smelled something that he never smelled before. He smelled defeat. Why? Because David was made the fragrance of God. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. When you position yourself in Christ, when you have faith in Christ, when you're following Christ, when you're doing what Christ wants, you will always triumph no matter what foe faces you. He's the cause of your triumph. He will always cause us to triumph. Always. Well, I don't know if I can do it today. Yes, you can, because he will cause you to triumph. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor, that's fragrance of Christ. Woo, you guys smell good. You've got the fragrance of Christ on you, and you smell good. I smell victory in the room. Someone had been baking some victory cake. You've been making some victory lasagna. You got some victory tacos. How about some victory meatloaf? Isn't it amazing how when you walk into a room and someone's been cooking your favorite meal, and you walk in and you recognize that scent? You recognize that aroma? Or when married couples were dating, you'd wear that perfume, you know? I remember getting a couple perfume-scented cards and letters with the imprint of Fiona's lips on them. I'll tell you, that does something to you. But we are unto God a sweet fragrance. And the fragrance comes because he causes you to triumph. Triumph means victory. Triumph means to overcome. It's not an English car. It's a victory. Amen? You have victory in Christ. You can overcome any physical challenge, any spiritual challenge, any difficulty. Now, just think of the Apostle Paul for a minute. He was a very radical Jew. He was so radical that if he found out that you were a Christian, he may show up to your house and arrest you for nothing, just for being a Christian. And he would watch you be abused, ridiculed, mocked, and even killed. Do you realize he held the coats of the people who stoned Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church? When people were throwing the rocks, they gave their coats to Paul. But God radically got a hold of Paul and transformed his life. How many know when Christ gets a hold of you, you're not the same? Something changes on the inside of you. Something, you go under a transformation when Christ gets a hold of you. I used to be shy, and look at me now. Christ got a hold of me. I'll never forget when my aunt, my mom's sister, my dad was an only child, but my mom had one sister, and when my aunt heard me preach for the first time, she said, "This is my shy nephew?" She was so shocked. I'm telling you, when Christ gets a hold of you, you will become a different person. And where was I? No, I mean, what was I saying? I was making a point in that. Oh, yeah, the sweet savor. Oh, I was talking about the Apostle Paul. Thank you. Well, he went to go preaching. He was doing the opposite of what he was doing before. And he met with resistance. How many know when you go preach, you don't expect to be beaten with rods or whipped or stoned to death? Okay? But my point was this. He was not beat once, but he was beat five times with rods. They hang you upside down and they club your feet. He was whipped 39 times at three different occasions. Now, you know how Jesus looked after he was whipped. Imagine going through that three times. Why didn't any of those things stop Paul? Because Christ was working in him to always cause him to triumph. You couldn't stop Paul because he was positioned in Christ. He had Christ in him, and no matter what you did to him, he wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop his progress, wouldn't stop him moving forward. It wouldn't deter him from winning the lost. And once in Derby, they took him outside the city and they stoned him and left him. He was dead. And the other disciples gathered around him and prayed, and he got resurrected. What did he do? He went back into the city that stoned him. Come on. My point is, no matter what you face, when you got something always causing you to triumph, you can face anything. Amen. They couldn't make Paul quit. Nothing should make you quit either. Matter of fact, you ought to step it up. If you feel like the devil's trying to stop you, get more aggressive. Amen? Okay, one more and then I'm closing, so I'm going to get you out of here by 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. You know, we are an advertising society. But you know God has his own way of advertising? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Does that sound like an advertising campaign to you? For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Did you know that you're a living epistle? Christ is the key to having God's law written on your heart. He writes his desire on your heart. A living epistle, an epistle is a letter. So God is saying you're a living epistle. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is able to write on your heart what God wants, what God desires, what God knows. Can you imagine that your heart is God's iPad? And he can write on you a message on your heart because that's the best place for, he made your heart to be able to handle it. You are a living epistle, known and read of all men. What does that mean? People watch your life. The moment you say you're Christ, people will watch you. And when you mess up, they'll say, "Well, I thought you were a Christian." I am. That's why I needed a Savior. But we become a living epistle. We become God's billboard. He doesn't put you on the side of the road. It's your life. You don't have to say anything. All you have to do is live for Christ. And people will see something different in you. I heard a testimony. I was talking to a friend, and this friend and I, we have a mutual friend, and this friend I was talking to, he testified to me. He knows this mutual friend. He said, "I've seen a change in him. I've known him for years," and he said, "I've seen a change in him." Man, God wants to change us. But it's all about being in the best place. The best place for us to be is in Christ Jesus. You can whip the devil in Christ, but in yourself, he'll whip you. But in Christ, and God made getting in Christ the most easiest thing in the world. By faith. I can't wait till we get to Galatians and Ephesians. Oh my goodness. Amen. Ephesians is like the mother lode of being in Christ. It's like the vein chock full of gold and oil. And when we get to Ephesians, we're going to hit a gusher. Woo! But I want to encourage you to be in Christ. That means you got to do what Christ wants. That means there's no, what Christ says, there's no argument or options about it. God didn't give us 10 commandments and 10 options. He stopped at commandments for a reason. Now, you're here tonight. Some of you may need comfort. Some of you may need victory. Some of you may need forgiveness. Some of you may need help forgiving someone else. Who are you going to call? Call on Christ, because he's here to make it happen. Maybe you need healing. Christ healed then. He heals now. He will heal tomorrow. Why? Because he never changes. You can put your trust in Christ and you won't be ashamed. You will not fail. He'll work it all out for his will. Because after all, Christ is the centerpiece. And guess what? Since you're here tonight, each one of you can take home the centerpiece. You can take Christ with you wherever you go. Abby's going to take Christ to Russia. She's going to take Christ with her on the plane. And she might have opportunities to share about Christ and what Christ has done. Amen. And she's going to see the power of Christ is the power of salvation. So I want to invite you up right now. If you're here tonight and you just have a need and you need a touch from Christ, Christ is here to touch you. Amen? And it's amazing God can work in the time that we have. Hallelujah. So much, Lord, that you've given to Carolyn the mind of Christ. She thinks your thoughts, she shares your desires, and Father, you season her words with grace, and you cause the Holy Spirit to rise up within her, Father, who leads, guides, and directs her in the name of Jesus. And enemy, we lift up Carlito to you right now, and we just thank you, Father, for touching him and just showing yourself strong to him in Jesus' name. And I refuse to let you beat yourself up. Don't second guess. You just move with the Holy Ghost. And if you think you missed it, he'll just show you a better way next time. You just stay in faith and you just stay steady and steadfast. And you keep doing what you're doing. For God's called you, he's anointed you, and he equipped you for every good work in Jesus' name. So you be strong and mighty. Rejoice in God's strength as he leads, guides, and directs you. It's his thing, and we're just the best. You're the garden hose and he's the water. And he's the garden. So Father, I give you thanks and praise, Lord, that you touch these two with the power of Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, just let your power come upon them, Father. Let it resonate within them in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your mighty touch. Oh, one touch from the Master can do amazing things. So, Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, prepare them, Father. Lord, let them know that they are warriors. And when an enemy fights them, they're going to win every time. They're going to stand their ground. They're going to stand on the word, and they're going to be victorious in the name of Jesus. You've already seen some good things, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, wait till God's plan unfolds to greater degrees. You're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, I didn't think I could do that, but Christ said, I knew you could. That's why I called you to do it. That's why I anointed you to do it. So you just keep following him, and he'll lead you to life and blessing in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you thanks and praise. Lord, I thank you for your anointing and your power right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you strengthen her with might in Jesus' name, in her inner man, by the Holy Spirit. Lord, let your strength come upon her. Let her not be so easily moved. Let her not be easily shaken, Lord, but let her know that you are her anchor. Lord, you are her stabilizer. You are her keeper and her sustainer. In the name of Jesus, so touch her, Father, with your power. In Jesus' name. Lord, I give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord, that you are her wisdom. You are her strength. Lord, you are her light. Lord, you lead and guide and direct her in the light. And I thank you, Father, that just like Joshua, she has strength and courage to step out and to be bold in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for touching her with the power of Christ in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I just give you thanks and praise that this young man gets excited about Christ. Lord, give him a dose of Christ and the power of God in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Oh. Give him some radical praise. Come on, let's sing the praise. Yes, Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of Christ is your strength. Never forget him. He'll lead you in joy. He'll cause you to do amazing things. You just walk with him. Let him talk with you. You do what he says. Be quick to obey. Hey, you know that you can face any challenge. You can climb any mountain. You can overcome any foe. Because you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, give her a new, fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Shower her, Father, with your grace. Lord, you've equipped her. You've made all the provisions necessary in the name of Jesus. Now let your favor go before her. I declare that she will be protected and no harm will come near her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everything will go well. Everything will go in her favor. And she will be blessed, Father, in Jesus' name. And I give you thanks and praise, Father, for Caleb. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for giving him a fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for working everything out on his behalf also, Father. Bless them in Jesus' name abundantly. Amen. Work out everything. Hallelujah. Lord, you're my son, and I'm not talking Sunday. You know how much God loves you. Oh, he loves you to the nth degree. And his love does not fail. It can't fail. It'll keep you. It'll hold you. It'll sustain you. It'll fill you. It'll strengthen you. Father, I give you thanks and praise. Father, that her faith works by your love. And her faith works by her love in you. She has confidence and trust in your love. Your love heals her. Your love delivers her. Father, your love leads and guides and directs her in the name of Jesus. And I give you thanks and praise that the power of Christ can just touch her right now from head to toe in the name of Jesus. Break every yoke. Break every yoke right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the burden lifter. You not only lift the burden, but you destroy it and you break its yoke. And I give you thanks and praise. Father, I declare that she is the epitome of freedom. Christ has made you free. Free indeed. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, you're free at last in the name of Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks and praise, Father. Replenish her strength. Invigorate her right now in the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Lord, that your anointing will work and do wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus. Arise and let the glory of the Lord come upon you. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. He is upon you. He is shining through you.